If you're looking for a church community to celebrate the birth of our Savior this Christmas season, we'd love to have you join us for our Christmas Eve service. Our Christmas Eve service will be Tuesday, December 24th at 6:30 p.m. Our address is 2840 B&F Road.
You know, I came into church this morning and we had decorated for Christmas, and actually for a first in a number of years, we put angels on the top of the Christmas trees. Notice they're off to my left and to my right. That's kind of weird. My left is your right. So we got angels on the Christmas trees. But I came in this morning, and for some reason, this angel had her back to me. I say her because it's wearing a dress. And I'm not sure that most of the angels in the scriptures wore dresses. We only have two of them named, Michael and Gabriel. And those are distinctly male names. So unless the dress code in heaven is significantly different than the dress code on earth, they probably didn't wear dresses. By this time, Thanksgiving is well past, and for many of you, you've already put up your Christmas tree. And historically, you have either put an angel or a star on the top of the tree. The star, of course, reminds us of the Christmas star, which led the wise men to the baby Jesus. And the angel reminding us of all of those celestial beings that came and spoke to mankind during the Christmas narrative. Both of them are powerful symbols. They remind us of the wonder of Christmas. But let's face it. You can see stars just about any night, unless you have the misfortune of living in a highly populated area. You can see stars by looking up in the sky, but you don't see angels very often, at least not as far as you know. And when you do see them, it is highly unlikely that they're going to resemble the cherubs on the top of our Christmas trees. You know, with the wings and the beautiful dress and the halo. Nevertheless, many people love angels. They're a wonderful topic. They believe in angels. I believe in angels, but I don't believe in angels in the same way that many people in our society believe in angels. Because many people that love angels have really bad angel theology. Many people who believe in angels are diverted from Jesus, who can save them, to angels who cannot. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at angels. We're going to talk today just generally about angels. Next week, we're going to look at Michael, the archangel, and then after that, Gabriel, the Christmas angel, hoping that we can develop a more robust theology of angels in a time when there's lots of earthly reminders of angels. You see them in decorations and sing about them in songs, and hopefully over the next few weeks, we'll begin to see the importance of angels, but also their lack of importance in comparison to Jesus. You know, it is fairly easy to place our faith in angels instead of Christ. And honestly, it kind of makes sense. In contemporary culture, angels make no demands. In contemporary cultures, angels are kind of like the airbag in your car. No, not your husband. The safety device. They're kind of like that airbag. You hope you never need it, but it's there just in case. Most people who greatly admire and who even place faith in angels see them as some sort of benevolent spirit friend. I've got my angel. They are the teddy bear of the spirit world. Warm, cuddly, and cute. Standing ready to take care of us while making no demands of us. I've got my guardian angel just there to protect me. In a world which devalues the scriptures, it's easy to embrace a plethora of wildly unbiblical ideas concerning angels. I mean, just think about Clarence. Of course, he doesn't fit the stereotype of an angel at all, does he? Now, for those of you who are too young to remember who Clarence is, It's a Wonderful Life, and you should see the movie. But Clarence is not representative of a biblical angel. So in our world, we develop this angelology, theology of angels, which resonate with a unspiritual people, where many people are willing to embrace this concept of some sort of highly benevolent, very beautiful, maybe even effeminate, angelic being who takes care of us. Angels offer a type of spirituality which does not involve commitment on our part. They don't demand anything of us. And the nice thing about angels is that you don't need to believe in God to believe in angels. They're just these spirit beings there to help us. And honestly, that's a nice thing, because many people have come to accept a concept of God as punitive, jealous, and judgmental. He's able to do things like bring peace on earth, but he doesn't. He's just not that nice of a guy. But angels, oh, they're sweet. Angels are thought to be totally compassionate. As one journalist put it, "For those who choke too easily on God and his rules, angels are the handy compromise, all fluff and meringue, kind and non-judgmental, and they are available to everyone like aspirin." So, with that foundation, you recognize that I want to take you on a journey in Scripture to look at the reality of angels and to balance out our rational belief and, in many ways, biblical belief about angels with where they are in the realm of eternity. And we're going to want to have a biblical understanding of the role of angels, and then look at Michael and Gabriel in the weeks to come. I hope you'll join me on this journey, because I find it fascinating, and it enhances my belief in angels while putting it that belief in its proper place. The first mention of angels in the Gospels is actually in the Gospel of Mark. Now, I say this because historically, Mark is the oldest of the Gospels. And when you think of the Christmas narrative, you don't generally think of Mark, because, well, frankly, the Christmas narrative is missing there. He says nothing about the birth of Christ. But he, being the first one to write a gospel, and the other gospel writers, the synoptics, drew from Mark. Mark is actually the first one to mention angels in writing about Jesus. And actually, it was in reading that and preparing in my sermon series on the Gospel of Mark that the idea of preaching on angels was planted way back in Mark chapter 1, when it had nothing to do with Christmas. Because in Mark chapter 1, we read this. It's Mark 1:13. Jesus has been in the wilderness, and he's in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. The angels were ministering to him. It caught my eye, because generally when I think of the early chapters of the Gospels and angels, I think of of the angels' involvement in Luke chapter 1 and 2, where they talk to Zechariah and to Mary, and in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, where the angels come to Joseph. But I don't think so much about the beginning of the gospel, where Jesus is ministered to by angels. And so the first point about angels that we want to impress upon ourselves is that angels are ministers. Jesus is ministered to by angels in Mark chapter 1 as he is in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, and it says with the wild beasts. Now, we don't really understand why Mark put that in there, because the other Gospels don't mention the wild beasts and they talk about the temptation of Jesus. Some suggest that the reason they say that Mark includes this is because of some things that were happening when Mark wrote his Gospel, where Nero was taking Christians and putting them in the Colosseum with wild beasts. And it was a way that Mark was saying, Jesus can relate to you. And the neat thing is, he said, he was ministered to by angels. So he's there in whatever the temptations are and whatever the wild beasts are being ministered to by angels. It doesn't exactly tell us what the angels did, except that we are pretty sure that they comforted and guided and gave him succor. He was ministered to by angels. The first thing ministers do, the angels do. If you look back in 1 Kings chapter 19, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is... he's had his battle with the prophets of Baal, and he's now gone and gotten depressed. He has this real spiritual high, and then he goes and he gets depressed, and he's in a cave, and he's, and the scripture tells us that an angel cooked a cake for him. The book of said, get up and eat. Now, it was breakfast. I think it was a cupcake for breakfast. Kids, you can use that with your parents. You know, angels made cupcakes for, maybe it was a pancake. But anyway, the angels said, get up and eat. And they didn't do it just once, they did it twice. You know, angels are ministers. They took care of physical needs. In Psalm chapter 34, we see the angels minister to us. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps around us, those who fear him, and ministers to us. Ministers us in many different ways. In Daniel chapter 3, that biblical story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are in a furnace. Apparently it was chilly. They were chilly, so they got in the furnace. And someone was trying to kill them. And instead of three people being in the furnace, there were four. The fourth wasn't a person at all. It was an angel ministering to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And one of the two interesting experiences with angels ministering to people occur in Acts chapter 5, and then again Acts chapter 12. It seems that Peter had a proclivity in the early chapters of Acts to get put in prison. And twice, Peter's in prison when an angel breaks him out. Now, just so you know, angels don't do that very often. And so I would not count on an angel breaking you out of jail. So don't test the angels in that regard. But the point is that angels are ministers. They do specific things to help mankind. They are ministers. But they're also messengers. They of course brought us the message of Christmas. You can go through your mind and say, yeah, I remember that. Joseph, who is betrothed and ready to be married to his wife, or to Mary, and then an angel comes to him and says, by the way, I got some bad news. She's pregnant, but it's good news. And Joseph's going, I'm confused. How can that be good news? And the angel has a little conversation with Joseph and convinces him that it's the right thing to do to marry Mary, and that is indeed good news. And then later, an angel comes to Joseph and says, by the way, you should really move to Egypt. You should get out of here, because bad things are about to happen. And Joseph says, really? You already tore up my life by telling me my fiance is pregnant, and now I got to move to Egypt? And by the way, comes back later at the instruction of an angel. Why? Because the angels were told, go talk to Joe. You know, have a nice conversation with him. Why don't you sit down and have a cup of Joe with Joe? Tell him that it's all going to be okay. Of course, the angel comes to Mary and says, by the way, you're pregnant. That had to be good news for her too, right? Talk about it. Angels bringing strange news, you know, and it's good news eventually. But when they first heard that, those angels probably weren't the best messengers in terms of Joseph and Mary. But as they talked along, they realized God's doing something marvelous here. Angels are messengers. Of course, the angel came to Zechariah. Zechariah's just doing his work. He's in the temple. He's burning incense. And I'm imagining that he's, you know, in his mid-60s and childless, and his wife is childless, and that's not a good thing in his time period. And in my mind's eye, he's playing woe is me. He's in the temple, he's burning incense, and he's going, man, I've been faithful all my life, and God has not given me a child. And then his angel shows up giving a message from God. By the way, your wife is pregnant. He's probably thinking, how did that happen? I'm old, and she is too. Don't tell her. Angels are messengers. And of course, they come to the shepherds. God sends these guys, you know, they're just watching their sheep at night. They're probably tired. And all of a sudden, an angel's there saying, there's a child born in the city of David, who is Christ, the Lord. These angels, they give messages to God's people. And just in case we think that they only give messages to people around Christmas, they also gave messages throughout Scripture. They indicated to people, this is what God wants you to do. You remember in Acts chapter 8, Philip was told, go that way and you'll meet this eunuch and tell him about God. And so Philip says, wow, that was a weird dream. I think I could get some more. No, he gets up and he follows the angel, because when an angel speaks to you, you really ought to do what the angel tells you to do. The angel, of course, talks to a heathen, which is kind of an interesting thing. Talks to a heathen, a guy named Cornelius. Cornelius he wants to know God, and the angel says, by the way, you should send and get this guy named Paul and bring him here. And then Paul shares the gospel with Cornelius, because an angel told Cornelius to take certain steps. So angels are ministers, and they're messengers, and they're also models. They're models of humility. In Revelation chapter 20, John has the opportunity to bow down before an angel. It's Revelation 20, verses 8 and 9. This is what the scripture says. That's the wrong text. So now I'm wondering what it was. Well, someplace in the book of Revelation. That's all, folks, as somebody said. John sees this angel and he falls down to worship him. And the angel rebukes him and says, no, worship God alone. Now there's a clue about our theology of angels. We do not worship angels. They don't want our worship. They want us to direct our worship to God. No matter how powerful and how wonderful angels are, they say, worship God. Luke chapter 2, we see that angels are a model of obedience. So humility and obedience. And in Isaiah 6, they are a model of worship. In Isaiah 6, the angels, it talks about seraphim, and they say, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of glory. And, of course, in Luke, the angels come, and, you know, in our history, in our picture of Christmas, the angels sing to the shepherds. The text actually says that the whole group of angels said, it doesn't say they sing, but I kind of think they probably sang. And Then in Revelation 7, we see them worshiping God. They are models. Models of humility and obedience and worship. Now here's the neat thing about angels. Angels make things right. There are about 280 references to angels in the Bible. 20 of those are in the book of Zechariah. Now, when you think of angels, you probably don't land on Zechariah as your first place to look. But Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, speaks of the coming of the Messiah. And he speaks of both the first and the second coming of Christ, when all things are made right. Angels play a significant role in making things right. Significant enough that they are spoken of 75 times in the book of Revelation, the book which talks to us about the end of time. There in Revelation, they are seen as watching over the churches. We have, as a church, our church guardian angel. They are holding our prayers before God in Revelation 8. We see them in the book of Revelation opening seals, blowing trumpets, bringing judgment upon mankind. They are waging war against Satan in Revelation chapter 12. They pour out the bowls of the wrath of God in Revelation chapter 16. And they gather the saints for the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. They have a significant role in the end of time, in the making of things right. Angels. You know what they don't do? They don't save us. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that an angel purchased our salvation. They do not make things right between us and God. Yes, they minister to us. They bring messages to us. Yes, they are models of how we should respond to God. And yes, they have a significant role in making things right. But things could not be made right without Jesus. They defer to Christ. So, there's a couple, 3 weeks before Christmas, and you're going to be inundated with pictures and images of angels. Unfortunately, there's less angels than there are Snoopy Santa Clauses, for some reason. But you are going to see pictures of angels, and they are going to be pictures not unlike what we have displayed on the top of our Christmas trees. These beautiful, flowery, typically blonde, with gorgeous robes and wings that are really disproportionate for the size of the angel. Now, how can an angel fly with wings that small? And you're going to see these pictures, and I admonish you to think biblically about angels. To recognize that they have a significant role in our lives, that they are incredible things which the angels do. They are incredible beings. But not all angels are good. We're going to learn more about that next week. And to simply say, I'm going to listen to the angel on my shoulder. Well, you know, maybe. Maybe you shouldn't. Whatever you read or think about angels, read it through the prism of Scripture. Let the angels remind you of the incredible role they play in our lives, not merely the history of Christmas. They minister. They bring messages, model God-honoring lives, and make things right. But what they won't do is they will not save you. Salvation comes not from angels. Salvation comes not from who they are, but who they announced. The angels didn't come saying, "Behold, an angel army has come to Bethlehem. Behold, we are going to set aside all the ills of the world." The angels came saying, "There is a child born who is Christ the Lord." Angels are meant to point us to Jesus. So, when you see the angels, when you hear the angels singing, or the songs about angels, think of Jesus. Because that is the reason the angels are on earth. To point us to Christ. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us to have a healthy, biblical view of those celestial beings that you have given for us. Through them, guide us to Jesus. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
With 2019 coming to a close, we know that some people like to give year-end donations to our ministry. If you would like to give to the ministry of Living Hope Church, you can send a check to 2840 B&1/2 Road, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81503. If you would like to give online, you can visit our website at livinghopefree.church. Thank you.